Plurbies, plurality, family, welcome to episode 67 of this beloved show. I am Mikey. I am joined by Frenchie and Moody. Hey, Aarons.
Hi, Mikey.
This is a show about beautiful music and beautiful people. We do episodes every other Wednesday. We are back with another guest. And as we usually do, we're going to jump right into it. We're not going to waste any more time. So who is this guest, you ask? Well, our next guest is so wonderful. You may have seen her slaying stages at some of our favorite festivals, from the cornfields of Iowa to the Kootenay Mountains of British Columbia. Perhaps you've heard her wubs on beloved bass music labels like Deadbeats, Monster Cat, Subsidia, or Bitbird. We love this Attack on Titan connoisseur for speaking out against gatekeeping and speaking up for Hilary Duff. With a degree in painting and a wide taste in different genres, her creativity is on full display every day. I am so thrilled to give a warm welcome to the aspiring silly goose of bass music, Sosus.
That intro is crazy. Y'all picked up on a lot of things. I was like, Hilary Duff, yeah. Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. Can we just pick up on this track right now that's kind of sponsored by Snooki?
Yeah, I mean, this is like a remix of like Fish's Atmosphere that I did because I saw a video of Snooki dancing to the song, and I'm a huge reality TV fan and I love Snooki. And I don't know, her dancing to the Fisher song was everything. And I just kept on watching this clip over and over again. And then I was like, now I like this Atmosphere song. It was even like, I think my second most played song on my Spotify Wrapped this year. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to remix it so it fits my sets. Because I don't think like the Fisher sound fits the Sosa set too well. So then I just kind of made it into like Fisher, but Sosa's vibes.
Love it. Mm. You know, one of my favorite scenes from Jersey Shore is when they're at Jersey and Snooki is running down the boardwalk and she's like, where's the beach? And she's like parallel with the beach, like,
yeah,
it's right there.
Yeah, she's right by the beach, yeah.
Her bumpet's like all around, like bumping her.
Oh, that is iconic. Also, fun fact, my shower curtain is actually like the letter, the writing that was on the letter that JWoww and Snooki left for Sammy. That's my shower curtain. Like, I love Jersey Shore.
I see that letter in so many different ways. Like, if it's a totem, if it's on a t-shirt. And I think that somebody did a version of that. And it was like a letter to Dom Dalla, but it was talking about John Summit's antics or something.
No, I mean, I think it's just like super iconic. Some of the stuff, like, I watch it back and I'm like, that's crazy. I mean, now I've moved on. I'm a part of the Bravoverse now. I'm trying to watch all the Housewives shows. Vanderpump Rules, honestly, my opinion, better than Jersey Club. Might be controversial.
Wow.
But that's my take.
We hear you're also a big Love is Blind fan, so are we.
Oh, I do indeed love Love is Blind. But I will say with Love is Blind, I feel like because it's different people, like some seasons are like cool, some seasons are like,
Totally agree.
You don't get that same sort of consistency as you do with like a show that has like a cast that goes all the way through. That's my one complaint about Love is Blind.
I totally understand and agree. And my version of that is Selling Sunset. I love Selling Sunset.
You know, I've never watched Selling Sunset, but you know, I'm willing to give it a go. At some point, but like, I mean, I'm trying to watch all the Housewives franchises.
Dang, that's gonna take a long time.
I mean, I only started this summer, and I've done Salt Lake, I've done Beverly Hills, I'm currently on New York. There's a ton of them to go, so well, I'm just gonna try my best.
Godspeed.
Keep us posted.
So we have Drop of the Week today. Before we have Drop of the Week, though, I just have a kind of important question to kick us off, because we noticed going through your Twitter that you are interested in combination shops, a bubble tea bike shop that you stumbled upon. or a store that sells shoes, massage beds, and you can also get your lashes done there.
Oh, yeah. Okay, man, y'all people really went in on my Twitter. The thing is, I just end up at these places and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Because the combination bike bubble tea, I did get a bubble tea from there. It was good bubble tea. I didn't need to get a, like, rent a bike at the time. Because where the shop is, it's really close to, like, the seawall that's here in Vancouver. So it makes sense to have bikes there. But, like, it's weird that they also have bubble tea. But I guess maybe while you wait for them to sort out your bike, you get a bubble. I don't know. But the lash massage bed shoe store, that's a crazy combination. That makes no sense. I don't understand it. It's still open. I can't remember when I tweeted that, but that store's still open and it's been open for a while. I don't understand. I barely ever see anyone in it. I don't know.
Well, because of your interest and passion for these store combos, we wanted to pitch you some store combos, and you tell us if they are too sus to trust or if they are sussational, okay?
Okay! Yes! Yes! Yes, I love this. Let's go.
Number one, I am pitching a sushi bar vintage vinyl shop. We're calling it Rolls and Records because nothing is better with tuna than tunes.
You see, the thing is, I like both those things, and I would definitely go to a store that did both. So I'm going to give it sensational, because I feel like you can order, then you can go look at a record while you wait for your order, and then when you buy your records, and then you sit down and eat sushi. I think it works out pretty well.
I like that you're really unpacking the experience.
You got it! This is serious. This is some we're doing serious discourse here.
Right off the bat, very serious discourse. Okay, Aaron's, who wants to go next?
Frenchie?
Okay, I am pitching Poffee Break, which is a pet grooming and espresso bar. So you treat your pup to a bubble bath while you sip a triple shot caramel macchiato. The tagline is, we'll perk you up and fluff them up. She hates it.
I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know what about it is not... It's giving me the same vibe as the bike shop. I'm like, why? You know, I'm just like, sure, but why?
There are more questions than answers.
Exactly. I don't know about that one. I'm going to say too sus.
Too sus to trust.
Too sus.
Got it. Okay.
All right, here we go. I got another one. This one is a yoga studio and a taco stand. Its name is Namaste and Nachos. Flow into your warrior pose, then reward yourself with a cheesy, crunchy taco. Tagline, find your center and your salsa.
Okay. Now, the thing is, I'm the type of person who would do yoga and immediately go eat nachos or a taco afterwards. But I feel like in general, it's like, you know, you want to keep it healthy. I feel like it goes against it. So at least, you know, stave off the temptation by it not being the same place. So I'm going to say too sus to trust.
Okay.
Too sus.
I love your discernment as a business owner. You're sniffing out these issues.
Oh.
Last one.
Okay.
Bowling alley and tattoo parlor, inked and strikes. Roll a strike, then roll up your sleeve for some fresh ink. What do you think?
Yes, 100%. Would totally do that. I love going bowling with my friends. I love doing like activities in general, and bowling is one of my go-tos. And I also like getting tattoos. So I'm like, you could go get tattoo with a friend. You can go bowling with a friend. Either or. So yes,
sensational.
Yes, I love how I'm forgetting the taglines, but yes.
Thank you for coming to this episode of Store Combos with So Sus, everybody. Now we're going to move it along to Drop of the Week. We have an unreleased track. Again, I love that that's becoming a normal thing here on Plurality. Unreleased music getting released. We have a song by the name of Puppy. Does anybody want to say a little intro, or are we just letting this one rip?
Yeah, I can say a little intro. So this song is called Puppy. So this song is a song with my friend Shmani. She's also based here in Vancouver. And it should be out at some point in time on Alice in Wonderland's label. Don't know when yet.
Fuck Me Up Records.
Fuck Me Up Records. I just don't know when yet, but yes. At some point it will be out on Fuck Me Up Records. Yeah.
That is so dope, dude. We went to the FMU launch party here in Brooklyn.
Oh, nice. How was that?
It was a lot of fun. It was cool.
We
got to see her perform as White Fang, and we've seen her as White Fang a few times after that since, but Oh, it was so fun.
Was that the one with the bow and like Villa? Mm-hmm. Is that who was on that?
Villa and also John Casey. Too.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, I remember that.
Hey, while we're on the topic of Villa, how did she get you into listening to Chase Rice?
Oh, fuck. Oh, yeah. Me and Villa used to talk quite a bit. We don't actually talk that much anymore. But there was a point where we used to talk a lot. And I don't even know how it came up, because we were talking about doing a collab together. And then all of a sudden, I started talking about how, you know, I found a couple of random country songs that I like. And then she was like, maybe you'll like this. And she gave me a bunch of recommendations. And I just listened. And, you know, Chase Rice was a vibe.
That's amazing.
You know, I'll try anything once. And, you know, if I like it, I like it. If I don't, I'll tell you.
Well, we've already seen that on this episode. And it's been so much fun already. Let's get into this song, Puppy. That has to be the hardest drop ever to follow a discussion about Chase Rice, I think.
I think it's definitely a contender at the very least.
Yeah, it's in the conversation. It's definitely top three, top five.
For sure.
Love the bass in this track.
Me too.
It's like velvety.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's kind of not like a lot of the stuff I make. The inspiration for this came from going to Shambhala, which is a place I love dearly. Been 5 times. Yeah, I came back and a lot of the music that I heard, who said, man, I feel bad. I feel like I should remember who said I listened to. But there was a lot of songs that were kind of like this. And I was like, I've never made a song like that. Let me try. Oh, it was Pigeonhole. That's who it was. And I was like, I should try make a song that's kind of like that. And then I made this and I was like, it's kind of not like that, but sort of is. I was like, it needs vocals. And then I talked to my friend Shmani and she's like, oh, I got you. And she like, I like the vocals. It's like, I don't need your money. I can do this on my own kind of vibe. And I'm like, yes. We got another collab as well that we're working on. Or should I say, it's on me right now to put in the work, and I'm not doing that. I'm talking to you!
New music is coming up.
Yeah, no, but it's just like nice to find people like in the place you live that you can hang out with on a like friendship level, but also can like work on like a musical level. That's the combo.
So she's in Vancouver?
Yeah.
Shout out Vancouver. Beautiful city. I've had the pleasure of going a few times. Great sunsets, right on the water.
Yes, great sunsets. It is right on the water. Doesn't get too hot, doesn't get too cold.
Mountains nearby.
Mountains are nearby. It does rain a lot in the fall, but at least it's not snow.
Sounds sensational.
It is indeed sensational. It is. It's the 7th city I've ever lived in, and it's my favorite.
Wow.
Aw, I love that.
Can you list the other ones really fast?
Okay, so I was born in Zimbabwe. So Harare, Zimbabwe. Then I lived in Gweru in Zimbabwe. Then I lived in Pretoria in South Africa, Johannesburg in South Africa, Cape Town in South Africa. Then I lived in Kelowna, which is pretty close to Vancouver, and then Vancouver.
Wow.
I've been to 3 of those cities.
Wait.
Maybe 4. I don't think I've been to Pretoria, but I've been to Johannesburg and Cape Town as well.
You've been to Joburg and Cape Town? Sheesh.
Joburg, the concrete jungle. That's right.
Oh, let's go.
Much love for South Africa.
Yeah, it was fun growing up there. But like, I like Canada. I don't know. It suits my vibe.
Good vibes in Canada. We're going to continue the good vibes on this show with our drop of the week, a song titled Abyss.
So pretty.
So that is off the EP titled Genesis. Is that right?
Genesis, yeah. The Genesis EP.
So that EP is really interesting because it's 4 artists. So Sus, Pauline Herr, Seho, and Hex Cougar. And you guys all worked on every song on the EP. I don't know that I've seen an EP where four artists have collabed on, was it four songs, five songs?
It's four songs. Everyone started off with like an idea, and then we kind of just like traded them.
Sprinkled your fairy dust on them?
Yeah. And honestly, we did it pretty fast because like I think in a month it was done.
Wow.
And we would just like did it over the internet. We had like a Twitter group chat and we'd be like, I like what you did with Eastbridge. I like this and this and this. Oh, this and this and this. Or like send it to me. I'll change it and stuff like that.
I like that we read in an interview that the only thing you disagreed on was whether to say Eastbridge or the Eastbridge in,
yes.
In a lyric.
Respectfully, that was Raj Hicks. That was Hex. Hex Cougar was the one who was like, say meet me at the Eastbridge. The rest of us were all like, it sounds fine how it is. And then Paulina Herr re-recorded it. He was like, oh yeah, this doesn't sound as good.
He admitted defeat.
Yeah. But like besides that, it was pretty much smooth sailing. There wasn't really anything much else that like there was a disagreement of. It was just like, oh, you did this. Maybe if we did this, yeah, you're right. That would be better. It was kind of like if somebody suggested, it was just like taken on kind of vibe.
Can you speak to the influence of Hex Cougar? You know, personally, that's somebody whose music has made a big impact. And I love seeing his attitude towards working with other artists, bringing up other artists. And I know it's a sound that's influenced a lot of people. So what was your experience like getting called upon to work with him?
I mean, it was really cool. I mean, my idea of the EP was originally Abyss. That was the one that I started. And honestly, when I originally sent it, I just wanted to get it on Hex Cougar's label, Alter Ego. That's all I was hoping for. And then he was like, do you want to collab on an EP? Then he's like, who else should we get for this EP? And I was like, I don't know. Then he's like, okay, I got Paulina Herr interested. Do you know anyone else? And I was like, oh yeah, I know Seho, because Seho's a homie. And I thought his sound would complement like kind of what we were going for. Yeah, I was like, what the hell is happening? And now like, I'm friends with Hex Cougar. I can text him right now. I was texting him the other day. It's just weird. And like when I go to LA, I'm like, hey, you want to hang out? We go hang out and have burgers. That's my life now, which is like kind of weird because like for so long I was like, Hex Cougar. And now I'm like, oh yeah, this is homie.
Burgers with Hex. That would be a good store combo.
Oh yeah.
That's not the only time that you had a single song idea turn into a whole EP either, was it?
Where is this going? I have a terrible memory. I don't remember things about my own life.
You're good. We were talking before we started recording about how Voices, it was the same thing. You reached out to Westbrook with a song and then they were like, do you want to make an EP?
Oh, yes.
And you were like, well, I haven't even thought of that.
Oh, yes, that is true. Actually, yes. So yes, that exact same thing happened because it was basically, I just wanted to get a song on Westwood. They were like, this is cool. Do you want to do an EP? And I was like, okay. And that was my first EP ever. Think about it. It's really funny. I've done four EPs. Two of them were intentional. The other ones, I don't know. I was just told to do it and I said, okay.
Well, intentional or not, they've resulted in some beautiful music. Thank you for your contributions, sharing them with the world. We're going to talk more about your contributions to music and other things. I want to send it over to my Aarons for this next segment.
Let's do it. So, Plurvies, our next segment is entitled Evolutions, and both Moody and I are going to take on this segment. Tana, I just want to take us on a journey. Thanks for sharing that you were born in Zimbabwe. We know that you moved to South Africa when you were about 10, and then you moved to Canada at 19. So, congrats on becoming a Canadian citizen last year and voting for the first time.
Yay! Voting is important. Yeah.
So we understand that you were first introduced to Afro House living in South Africa.
Yeah.
When you went to university for visual art, it seems like all your friends really loved dubstep, but you couldn't stand it.
Oh my God, I hated dubstep so much.
It sounds like from there you started making Progressive House and Big Room. Then you had a series of events that started to change your mind, like hearing Moody Good's remix of Slum Village, Fall in Love.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
This is a hot remix.
Yeah, Man, hearing this on a huge sound system, oh.
Literally, like, it's in my ears right now, and I wish it was, like, overwhelming me.
Okay, keep going, Frenchie.
Okay. Also, listening to G. Jones' early tunes, like, circa 2014, got you listening to trap, and then you started making trap, and then you started making bass. So what we want to know is, where in the world were you when you DJed for the first time? When your friend put your name on the flyer, but you didn't know how to DJ yet?
Okay, so that was actually, I was still in art school. And so I had just started messing around and just making music. I wasn't making good music. It was really, really bad. It was so bad. Nobody needs to hear that music. But, you know, my friend knew that I did this and then assumed, because I basically make an electronic song, that I could DJ. And I had never DJed ever. He made flyers and then put them everywhere. And then everyone starts coming up to me like, oh, can't wait to see you DJ. Didn't know you DJed. Can't wait to see you. And like, me, at the time, I just felt like peer pressured into just doing it. So I had to figure out how to. So what I did is I used to have a Native Instruments machine, which is like a MIDI controller. And then I had to MIDI map it to a program because with Traktor, and it's not really supposed to be used with Traktor, but you technically can. So I had to like figure out all stuff and I had to map every button. And so that was my first DJ set. And I played basically like new disco and indie electro. That was my first DJ set. That's where I started.
I love it. And I think that it's so awesome that you did that. I deeply relate to like, quote unquote, swearing off of a specific kind of art because of flopping so hard when you first explore it. I acted as a freshman in high school and I swore that I would never act again after I had seen like a VHS of my acting on a stage.
Oh, where do we get that VHS, Frenchie?
Oh, it's burned. It's gone. But I will say that there is a calling inside of me now, and I'm thinking that I'm going to get back onto a stage soon. So I want to know about your specific evolution and how you grew beyond that I'm never going to DJ. Like, was there, you know, something you were trying to silence, or how did you grow beyond that?
I mean, with the music stuff, I was honestly doing it because, so when I was in like university, I got really into like StarCraft and playing video games. I actually, in my first year, I failed a class because of it. I hope my parents don't hear that.
also relatable.
Your secret's safe with us.
So then I was like, instead of playing games, which are ranked and like I care about like being on all the time, maybe I should do something that's fun, but I can stop anytime. So that's why I started doing music. It was literally just something fun to do. My intention, I was planning to be a curator in an art gallery. That was my plan. So this music thing, I don't know. I just was doing it for fun. Then I started DJing. I thought I was bad at it. But then one day I had like a good gig and then I was like, okay, maybe I can do this more. And then on campus, somebody started a DJ club. So they helped me improve my DJing. And they also used to be the DJs for the school like bar and also all the school like, you know, events like at the university. I've been like second or third year. Every event, I was one of the DJs.
Wow.
I wasn't getting paid anything, but I was DJing. And then one day, one of the like big local DJs, probably I would say like the biggest local DJ, this was in Kelowna at the time. His name was Cody. He saw me DJing and he said I was a good DJ. And he's like, you ever want to DJ in the club? And I was like, wait, what? I could DJ in the club? For me, I was like, okay, I'll go to university. I'll DJ in school events and then I'll never DJ again. That was my assumption. That was my plan, really. And then I started DJing in the club and opening for acts like What's So Not and stuff.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, it was just like really weird. It was constantly like I was not like looking for it. It kept on in ways coming to me.
It's so important to keep yourself open to experiences like that. And I'm so proud of you for doing that. Aaron and I are visiting The Artist's Way right now. Have you read the book?
I don't know what that is.
So it's by Julia Cameron, and it's a little bit older. And the first time that I ever read it, I was in high school. I was a junior in high school. She gives you a lot of information about letting the art flow through you and basically just encouraging all of her readers and her learners to just show up. Because if you just show up, then the spiritual electricity, that flow, can use you as a conduit, essentially. And it sounds kind of like that's what happened with you. And I think that's just so awesome. And I think that so often people can get a little bit caught up in like, what if I suck forever? Or what if nobody likes it? Or whatever. So I'm very proud of you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I think one thing about me is I like new experiences a lot. So I'm like, okay, let's just try it. Maybe I'll like it. Maybe I won't. You know, that's part of what I like about touring is like, I'm very often going to a place I've never been to before in my life ever. And I get to experience it and like feel the vibe, and every place is a different vibe. And like, I love asking people what it's like there. And, you know, even though I only get to spend like a day or two there, but still it's like really nice.
It's so true. I mean, you've played a lot of festivals and tours, including Champala, like you mentioned, both 2022 and 2024, Gold Rush, your Brownies and Lemonade show in 2023, your North American tour in 2023, where you hit major cities, including British Columbia, Denver, Portland, LA, North Carolina, Phoenix, San Francisco, Chicago. You went on tour with Recno last year. You played Faded in the Park last year. Also, two South by Southwest shows. You played Denver Pride 50th anniversary with Recno and Kalina Zanders.
Sick.
You played Future Forest last year. And Symmetry. Like, what can't she do?
What can she do? The list goes on.
The list goes on.
Yeah. I'm just trying my best. that's all that's happening, you know. For me, it's, I really like the touring life. I wanted to continue because like, it's so much fun to make music and then play it. I know some people are more just like, I want to play it or I want to just make it. But like, I like both. I like both equally. And like, I love getting to meet people and I love getting to connect with people and just see how people live differently. Or I don't know, it can teach you about other people, but it can also teach you about yourself. Even though I'm from Canada, what's really interesting is I play more shows in the US. It seems like there's more demand for me in the US. One. And two, respectfully, I get paid more in the US than I do in Canada.
Fair.
Like in Canada, like house is hot, hot, hot. Mm. Promoters don't want to book bass music in Canada. It's kind of weird.
Which is kind of a mystery because when you played it at Faded in the Park, everyone came to see you. All those bass heads.
I mean, there is definitely a bass community, but like, it's just the way the cookie is crumbling. But, you know, I'm still doing me. And like, no matter the circumstances, I feel like I'll still be doing what I'm doing.
And we'll take ya.
Nothing can stop me.
What can she do? That's so awesome. I love learning a little bit more about you in that capacity. Thanks for being so vulnerable and sharing that with us. Is there anything else that you've learned about yourself in the process of traveling and touring and playing, aside from the fact that you are a professional at sleeping on planes?
Oh, I killed the sleeping on planes game.
World ranked plane sleeper.
Love it.
World ranked.
I've also realized that this is also shout out Recno because I got this knowledge from Recno. And like, it doesn't work for everyone. But if you are ever doing an out of town show or touring or whatever as an artist, I personally think the move is to go straight from the club to the airport. No hotel situation. I often find, you know, I'll be in the green room. I'll have a few drinks. I'll go to sleep. Then I'm kind of hungover. Then I got to go to an airport and I'm like, and like, it's bad. But if I just go for straight from the club, get on the plane, pass out on the plane, boom. It feels like I traveled home. It's vibes. It's the way to roll.
We're team time travel.
Yeah, I'm telling you, as long as flights allow it, I'll try to get a 5 a.m., 6 a.m. flight. Get out of there ASAP.
Honestly, that's a genius hack.
Yeah, because then you also get to save on hotels too.
Yeah, you save on hotels. Like the amount of flights I've almost missed. And missed. I've missed some flights. And it's literally because I decided I'm gonna have a little sleep. I tried to do straight from the club. It seems to work better and there's a less chance of me missing a flight.
Brilliant.
Pro hack.
So that's my vibe. It sounds crazy, but it works for me.
No, that's definitely...
I'm keeping that one in my pocket.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we're going to do that someday for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people can't sleep on planes, but like, it works so well for me.
Are you a face mask girly?
No. I mean, I probably should be, but no.
Literally.
I mean, honestly. Yeah.
I fall asleep very quickly as well. Like, my partner is always telling me, she's always like, she was like, how the hell do you fall asleep so quickly? Like, we'll be in the middle of a conversation and I'm out. And I mean, honestly, most of the time when I fall asleep on a plane, the plane hasn't even taken off and I'm asleep already.
You're just a professional now, so. All right, moving on with evolutions. We're going into the evolution of your gender identity. This is something that's near and dear to me. I am gender fluid and I love speaking to other artists who have been on a similar or a very different path with their gender identity. So you came out as trans just under a year and a half ago. After having a heart-to-heart with Recno that inspired you to live your truth. I read through all the responses to your announcements on Instagram and Twitter, and I didn't see any negative comments, and I think that is so amazing and telling of like what a beautiful light you have that you share with the world. And I am just so proud of you for like being vulnerable and speaking your truth. That's really, really awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I will say, because I think it's hilarious, there was one negative comment, which I honestly thought there would be more, but there was literally only one. And it was some guy who said, I really liked your music, but this is probably because you got the vaccine. And that was the only negative comment. And I thought it was the funniest thing ever. And I was like, I just thought it was funny. And I was like, okay. And honestly, I was so scared. And I was like, what was I so afraid of? Like, it's honestly been like nothing but positive. Like, I've never experienced anything weird. Like, I don't know. It's all been fine so far. I've had concerns about playing shows like in more like southern type states. Been chill. The vibes have been chill. I don't want to like, you know, invalidate or negate anyone's experience or anything. But I will say one thing that I've noticed is like, people like to be loud on the internet, but generally in person, people are nice. And like, even if they like don't agree with you or something, they'll be like pretty accommodating. It's just what I've noticed. People just like be like, you're still a human being is how I feel. I feel that a lot. So, I mean, I'm just happy that I've never experienced anything negative. And like, sometimes people have questions, which I'm always happy to answer. And like, I try to be positive and I feel like, you know, I just keep encountering positivity and we love that.
For sure. Do you feel like since coming out publicly, it's impacted your daily life at all? Or do you think it's just been kind of just the same, but speaking your truth?
You know what? I love how I just said what I just said. And now I'm remembering there's been, and it's only in Vancouver, there's been two people who just came up to me unprovoked, pissed off at me. And I'm just like, leave me alone. I'm just existing. Like, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, get out of here with that negativity.
I try not to focus on negative things. Even if, for example, like somebody was to like say something to me online, I just wouldn't respond to it. And I feel like that's just the better way, because then at least I can put my energy towards like more positive things and positive energy. At least that's what I try to do.
No, that's the best way to deal with a situation like that, because then you're not feeding into it, right?
Yeah.
Which is what they want from you. They want to provoke you and you're like, nah, I don't have time for that.
Yeah, well, pretty much. Yeah, it is actually really funny when you are like that, because they get even more annoyed and I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I'm going to go do my taxes or whatever I need to do.
I'm going to go do my taxes.
I actually do need to see my tax guy after this, actually.
His call.
Right after the call, you're going to do your taxes.
Okay, so this year was the first year I had to do U.S. taxes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's a little more, I have to do Canadian and U.S. taxes. So I'm doing taxes for two countries. My Canadian taxes are done. My U.S. taxes, it's really annoying because I've gone to this man like 12 times now. He keeps on being like, oh yeah, this thing. Oh yeah, this thing. And I'm like, dude, come on, man. Like, I'm tired of coming to your office. It's just I need him to do it because I'm like, I don't know the IRS. Just you are the professional here. Please just do it.
Tax guy, we know you're listening. Just do it.
Just do it. All right, back to the evolution. So one thing that was apparent to me when I came out as gender fluid was I could not have done it without Frenchie's love and support. So I'd like to take a second to shout out your partner, Nikki.
Yeah.
Not only for being a pillar through that time for you, but also for giving you such fabulous nails and lashes. Let's go, bitch.
I love that I have like three lashes on and I'm missing three nails right now. Like, like right now, I'm not at my best, but you know, it is what it is.
But if we look at your press shots, like you are slaying.
Oh, always. Always. I don't miss.
She does not miss.
Yeah, but I love Nikki for doing my lashes and nails because it's so expensive. Holy. And the fact that I just have to pay in love, we love that.
Totally understand. Frenchie cuts my hair. She shaves it.
Oh, sick. Back. Let's go.
That's $60 saved every month.
Exactly. Nikki also braids my hair. So she's like the whole aesthetic. I call her my creative director because she helps me come up with like visual ideas, photo ideas. Also, it seems like the new tour visuals I'm doing, I think, are her idea. So
cool.
When it comes to aesthetics, she's like the one, but also she's like really kind and wants to see me succeed.
Aww.
It's just like really nice. It's always nice to know that somebody has your back no matter what.
Oh, yeah. You guys are a dream team.
Yeah.
That actually, it makes me think of when we interviewed Sora, because I don't know if you know who he is. He's a rhythm and dubstep producer in the U.S. in Texas.
I know him a little bit. We've had some minor Twitter conversations here and there. And he makes good music.
He's super sweet. And his partner, Brielle, does like all his merch and like all his branding, like his logo and everything. So that's what it reminds me of. You guys, dream team over here, like making it happen together.
For sure.
Love it.
That's all you can really hope for in a partner, that they support, you know, the things that you want to do.
I love that you've said on your Twitter too, that sometimes she can't come with you when you're traveling. And she just says, you know, go get them, babe. Like, all good. I'll be here when you get home with the cats.
Yeah. No, it's super nice. Like most of the time she doesn't come with me. Like, she's in school right now, so she's usually got like work, or she's got like work on a project. But sometimes she will come with me, but usually before a show I will usually FaceTime her before a show. And I'll be like, I'm so nervous, and she's like, you'll be fine.
You need that grounding energy.
Yeah, so that's always really nice.
All right, we're going to jump back into the music right now. We're going to play a song you released in June of last year that ties in with this conversation. So, Mikey, could you please play Liminal by So Sus?
Sure can.
Thank you.
Play, babe.
Play, babe.
Play, babe. That's a beautiful track.
It's so beautiful. That whole single, all three tracks on it are so amazing.
I didn't ever really call it an EP. I just kind of released three tracks. I'm not calling it an EP. It's just tracks existing together. Those tracks specifically were, because I like to write music about like how I feel. A lot of the music I have written, I can be like, this is not what I was feeling, this is what was happening. And those tracks was definitely in the time when I was kind of like, I think, mixed emotions, which is one of the tracks on that little not EP was that was like before I had publicly come out, is when I made it. I found that vocal sample and I was like, this is perfect, this is how I feel. And I was like, I want to make this song around like the mixed emotions. I was like, I'm scared of telling people, but I want to feel the relief, and like very this all-consuming. And then Liminal was like afterwards, and it was like this kind of like weird piece, but also like it felt like I had built all this stuff up in my head, and it's fine. And it was like this weird feeling of relief, but also like it wasn't as big as in my head it was, you know? Mm-hmm. I love how I'm trying to like explain these very like weird feelings.
They're complex.
And then I try to make them into a song. And then Call Me When was just about my best friend who I leaned on during the time. It was like, just call me whenever, you know?
Yeah.
Those three tracks go together in terms of like theme and feeling. I feel like they're the same. Sonically, they might be a little bit different, but like theme and feeling for where I was, they felt the same to me. So I was like, you guys are friends.
Yeah, I love it. I've read that you wrote Liminal about how frustrating it is to transition and still feel gender dysphoria as a trans person. And as someone who has also had moments of feeling this way, I just want to say I see you and thank you for being so vulnerable with your art. It inspires others to do the same. And I know you said people have hit you up in your DMs for being like, you know, you have made me feel like I can come out and do my own thing. So it's just so important that we all live our truth.
I mean, Rechno living their truth helped me live my truth. And it's just like a perpetuated chain reaction thing. So like, I totally get it. I'm like, oh, I get how you feel, because that's how I felt. But yeah, I mean, I still feel gender dysphoria. I mean, the big thing for me is like my voice, which I don't like intensely, but I'm like too anxious to do anything about it. It's a very weird situation that I got going on right now. But like, hopefully one day I push and like actually work on my voice, because for me, it's just too masculine and it really bothers me when I hear my voice back. I feel like I go through periods of it where like sometimes I feel okay with who I am and how I am now. But then sometimes I get these like periods of a week, a month, where it's just like, I don't want to look at myself. I don't want to hear myself. Mirrors are not my friend right now. Even if we're like in this kind of call where I can see myself, it bothers me. Like right now, I'm in a place where I'm feeling okay. If we talk for like 2 weeks ago, a month ago, I was not feeling okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we all have our peaks and our valleys, and it's really just keeping the path and finding the self-love through the bad times and the good times, right?
Yeah. And I mean, that's where a supportive partner comes in clutch.
There you go. With tea, cats, and reality TV.
I mean, that's the killer combo right there.
I was reading through an interview you and John Casey did back in 2019 for your single Growth.
Oh my gosh.
In the interview, one of the quotes he said was, as producers, we're all most likely on that journey to find our sound, and it is a beautiful journey. I would describe it as liminal, never losing it, but never truly finding the end result. And that's beautiful because it leaves infinite room for growth. So when I read that, I was like, huh, I wonder if like she heard him say that, and then that's where she got the inspiration to title this song Liminal. But I could be grasping at straws here. I don't know.
Respectfully, I have no recollection of what you've just said. I don't think it really had anything to do with that, but I will say that I do like that. I like it. Shout out to the homie John.
Shout out, John. No, it just stood out to me because I had never heard of the word liminal. Like, I looked it up and read the definition. And so when I saw his quote, I was just like, huh, that's the two times now I've seen the word liminal in different contexts. So
I mean, I think for me, I think in the last year, I've had an interest in liminal spaces. To me, what's interesting about liminal space is like that haunting, eerie feeling. When you are in a liminal space, there's like this haunting. Like if you ever go to like a dead mall, that's my favorite type of liminal spaces, dead malls. It's just like this creepy, weird vibe. I love that. And I feel like that kind of felt like the vibe of the song to me. It's like being alone, but like something there.
You posted a photo with that song. It looked like it was from like a train station.
Oh, yeah. So the cover art is actually at LAX.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I had a 10-hour layover. You see, I used to really think that saving money was the move to go with this touring life. And what I've learned is sometimes getting home faster or getting to a place faster
is worth it.
Is worth it. So I've started spending more money on flights because I'm like, I don't want to wait in an airport for 10 hours. But anyway, I had 10 hours to kill at LAX. So I literally walked around the entirety of LAX. And like, then I found the space where they were like doing construction, and then there was just no one there. And I was like, this looks cool. And I just took a picture of it. And that's the cover of Liminal.
Ah, cute.
This sounds like that.
Yeah, that's why I called the name Liminal.
You're a genius.
I mean, people tell me, they say that like a lot of my music, when you listen to it, you can kind of picture something in your head. Like there's a
scenic.
Yeah, kind of vibe to it. So like, that's really cool that like people, and like, I love asking, like when somebody says that, my first thing is like, okay, what do you think of? Because I'm just so curious, like what your brain is coming up with. That's just like a fun way to also like interpret music through the like both feelings and also like sort of the visualizations your brain has when you listen to it.
Frenchie definitely listens to music like that for sure.
It's true. No, I love to go on that little journey of listening to the music, putting in my, you know, headphones and laying down and just, yeah, seeing what comes up for me in my mind's eye.
It's really cool. And sometimes I can listen to somebody else's, like what they are visualizing. And I'm like, oh, I get it. I see it. And like, that's so fun. Cause it's like a weird way to connect with someone. Like, I feel like I said the word connect quite a lot. And I love connecting with people. Connecting with people is like the vibe.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we're all connected. So we should just go ahead and do it.
It's like watching clouds with a friend, but doing it in your brain.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that. Yeah.
All right, well, now we're going to get a little silly. But before we do, we're going to play another unreleased track. This one is with one of your other besties in EDM Global, and it's called The Hood Shake.
Yeah.
This one smacks. Okay, last segment is titled Silly Goose Crossing.
Yay!
You're aspiring to be Bass's silliest goose, I hear.
Yes. I have a shirt and socks that say Silly Goose. I need to just get some pants or something, like a Silly Goose pant, and I'll just have a whole Silly Goose outfit.
To go with your big furry boots.
I'm the silliest goose, hopefully in bass music. I hope no one is beating me. I really hope no one's beating me.
We'll keep an eye out for any contenders and let you know what level of silly you need to reach.
I'll up it if I have to.
We'll let you know if you need to up it. I would recommend just upping it just in case.
Just in case. Okay. I feel you.
Just to be safe. Get sillier?
I'll give it a go.
So on Silly Goose Crossing, we of course have very serious questions. Number one, is there something weird about North American potatoes? What's
yes,
that about?
Yes, there is, and I will die on this fucking hill. Okay, if you are someone who's lived in North America, like, your whole life, like, I'm sorry, you are not getting, like, pinnacle potatoes. Straight up.
I saw this tweet as well, and I'm shook.
I want pinnacle potatoes.
Okay, so I grew up in Zimbabwe and South Africa. Potatoes there are just way better. I talked to my friends from Ireland. They say potatoes there are better. Peru, everyone is saying potatoes are better. And even when I went to London, because my mom lives in London, the potatoes there are better. North American potatoes are just not it. I grew up loving fries. But honestly, most fast food restaurants I go to in, like, North America, I'm not really into the fries, to be honest. I'm like, eh.
Dang.
The potatoes aren't hitting.
That makes me sad, but I'm glad that I know that there are better potatoes out there.
Okay, Nikki just came in, and I she hears me talking about this, and she is from here, and she agrees with me. Oh, she says she disagrees. Well, she's wrong. The way I got shut down. I'm sorry, but I'm going to die on that hill. I just think potatoes everywhere else is like good, but not North America. What's the best way to do this? No, we get a Facebook group.
We need a potato quorum.
Facebook group specifically. And try to figure out where the best potatoes are.
At least a Reddit thread.
This sounds like it could be a whole tour. You could go on a world tour and... Yeah, the potato tour, but also play music in tandem.
You know what? I like this idea. I get to eat potatoes. Hopefully good potatoes.
Sensational.
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 Exactly. Bring it back, baby.
That's a callback. All right. No topic is off limit here at Plurality, which is why we have to ask about your fairly significant and well-documented history of pre-show poops. What was your best ever and worst ever pre-show number two?
You know what's really funny? I've kind of stopped documenting them. I did it for like 2 or 3 years, I think. Solidly 2 or 3 years.
There's a lot of poo tweets.
I documented every pre-show poop. And then one day I was like, you know what? I think it's time to retire this. It's been fun. I mean, I committed for a long time. But... Okay, I can tell you, I know what my favorite one was. Okay, gotta be Chicago. Played Deadbeat's show at Salt Shed. That bathroom was just fantastic. It was super nice and clean. It was just a good experience. You're not around a bunch of people. There's no rush. It's all good.
10 out of 10 experience.
10 out of 10 experience. My least favorite, honestly, was pretty recently. I played a Vancouver Pride show. I was like, oh, I guess I don't need to poop today. And then it's like 4 minutes to my set, and I'm like, fuck, I have to poop. And the one thing that sucks about this club, there's no washrooms in the green room. Now I'm like, no, I'm in the club washroom. There's a line of people. I gotta be on in like 3 minutes. And you know, I'm feeling a little like stressed.
I'm feeling stressed.
I made it on time because the person before me was like, my set ends at this time specific. I was like, just play another song. But it was all good.
Just play another song.
Yeah, but it was all good. I made it. It was the quickest poop, stressful poop. It was not that enjoyable. It was just straight business.
Nothing like that Deadbeats show.
And then it's funny because then like people wanted to talk to me as I came out. And I'm like, I gotta go to the stage, y'all. My set starts now.
They cannot play another song.
Yeah, so that one, it was just, I think the big thing was just the stress factor. Just the time. Because usually, clockwork, it's usually 30 minutes before, boom.
But honestly, that one is on the venue. Like, they should have bathrooms by the green room. Right. Like, come on.
I mean, it's an old building. Is it a heritage building? Building codes, blah, blah, blah.
Was your poo to code? That's the question.
That's what you gotta know.
So the Come Clean, Hillary Duff edit you played in Vancouver last year was objectively wonderful. We actually have the video here.
Oh!
I'm coming clean.
I would have shuffled my booty off of that one.
I think I just lost a contact lens.
Yes.
So, are there any other So Sus Hillary Duff remixes that we should know about?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I do love Hillary Duff, and I do want to like try a remix. I don't know. I don't want to like say I'm going to do this, but I really want to do like, you know, one of those remixes where I remix multiple Hillary Duff songs in one song. That's the thing I'm thinking about doing. But I will say, currently, I have 17 people waiting for me to like work on collabs.
Go.
this is so just know that is like low on my priority list. But hopefully, you know, this weekend I finished 3 songs. Hopefully, like this week I can finish another 3 or 4. So, you know, we can kind of like start getting things. I got too many like almost finished songs right now. It's really bad.
Your oven is stuffed right now with tunes.
And it's literally people just being like, hey, you work on that track yet? You work on that track yet? And I'm like, no, I've been too busy watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It's literally what I've been doing instead of making music right now. So,
well, that looked like a really fun moment. That looked like a really fun set. So I'm glad that there was some footage of that. The final question of Silly Goose Crossing is actually about other silly geese. Specifically, we want to give you an opportunity to shout out the other silly gooses in your life, in the music scene, who mean a lot to you. Who are your favorite silly gooses, silly geese?
Okay, so in my flock of silly geese, shout out Quaxen, love you, BB. Global, of course, Rekno always, like Rekno always, for many reasons, for bringing me on tour, for helping me come out, love Rekno. Also, Cure, love Cure. CC is a darling, and who else? That's all I got for now, I think.
Do you have any special memories with More Kismet?
Oh, yeah. I've known More Kismet for since 2016? For like a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, but they also were a big voice in helping me come out as trans as well. But it was just so funny because Rekno was so like gentle about it and be like, you know, you just need to find your truth. And More Kismet was like, just do it. What are you waiting for? You just with the energy. It was like, come on, let's go. it was very funny.
That doesn't surprise me so much considering they've been making music since they were 14.
Yeah, I think they were probably about 14 when because I remember basically there was a group of producers who somebody found More Kismet on SoundCloud and was like, this kid's insane, this kid's 13. They were all like, holy, this kid's insane, this kid's 13. And then we just all started talking to More Kismet because we're like, holy crap.
Yeah, the first time we saw them live, they were 15, I think.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
That's crazy.
We
They're
saw them at Electric Zoo in New York, and they popped off. It was amazing.
So fun.
I couldn't imagine. Like, I'm pretty old. I'm 33.
No. We're older than you.
Okay.
No, I just mean in terms of, like, the EDM DJ game. That's pretty old.
Anyway. Frenchie was like, no.
If, look, you got Tiesto, you got Cascade, you got all these people in their 50s. We're thriving in our 30s, okay?
Yeah, fair enough. But, like, yeah, for me, like, I think back and to think if I was, like, even, like, 24, like, who I was as a person at 24 and if I was touring, respectfully, that would not be a good thing. Self-control was not a thing. Being responsible was not a thing. So, like, for me, I would just always wonder, like, if you're, like, young and doing this, like, I don't even understand. Because now I'm like, my vibe is I just want to be at home most of the time, to be honest. I love DJing. I love making music. But most of the time, honestly, I just want to be at home. That's my vibe now. I'm chilling.
That now concludes the questions that we have prepared. Tana, thank you so much for coming on today. We're going to send ourselves off, as usual, with some music. This is a song with Silly Goose, number one in your life, Quaxen.
Hey.
It's called Goons.
Silly Goons.
Yes.
I tell you, fucking goons, sit the fuck down before you start squeezing in this bitch.
Tana, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs?
Okay, I mean, you can find me on pretty much all the sites. It's going to be at SoSus Music on everything, just SoSus Music. And hopefully I'll be in a city near you.
Sensational.
It's really funny that, like, part of being, like, a DJ is just, like, going full Regina George and just keeping secrets. I'm like, oh, I can't talk about... Oh, I forgot to... I can totally talk about my release on Friday. I totally forgot about that.
Let's hear that.
Because I got official Buckley Crenshaw remix coming out on Friday.
Let's
Yo!
Go!
That's awesome! That's
so sick. Or I guess when this airs, it'll be like last Friday.
It is out.
It's a remix of Rebel with Buckley Crenshaw and Snowy.
Wow.
So yeah, and the remix compilation is hot. It's got like Liney, Shanghai Doom, me, Super Futures.
I'm the fucking rebel.
Barkley Crenshaw is loving bass music, and we're all here for it.
You know what's
it.
Actually really, really, really funny? So when I started making music, I was obviously making house music, and actually I picked up a copy of Future Music Magazine, and Claude Von Stroke, sir.
Claude Von Stroke.
We had like a tutorial in it, and it literally taught me how to do drums. Like, so I learned drums in a long roundabout way from Barclay Crenshaw, like how to like do drums in like electronic music.
And now you're remixing Barclay Crenshaw.
Yeah, it's like a really weird full circle moment. It's weird that I can talk to like my favorite artist now. Like it's super weird. So many people that are my favorite artists, like in DMs, we will have like little chats and like stuff. And like, I'm like, what is going on? This feels like not what should be happening.
This real life.
You should just be ignoring my DMs like a normal human being.
Well, that's one of the reasons we created this podcast, was to connect with our favorite artists. So we're excited to add SoSus to the list of our favorite artists that we have connected with. Thank you so much for your time. This has been beautiful. We have some sign-offs that we usually do.
Okay.
I want the errands. Do you guys want to do our sign-offs?
I'll do it.
They are so silly. This is silly goose territory for you, Tana. Okay.
Shout out to Whipped Cream, Alley Cat, Barbara Streisand, and Andrew Lux's Roombay.
Oh, Roombay. Let's go. Yes, shout out Roombay.
Shout out Roombay.
I love that we always shout out Roombay. We don't shout out Andrew Lux.
I love Andrew.
How he knows he's adjacent to Roombay.
Yeah, he's the dad.
Shout out adjacent. Shout out adjacent to Roombay.
I do love Andrew Lux. He's hilarious.
He's so funny.
Such a sweet guy. We love Andrew.
He makes really good music, too.
He is banging with the production.
Yeah.
No. Oh, yes. My God.
12 Days of Flipmas.
How did we not even talk?
The Flipmas, they were so good.
Reba.
Wait, Mikey, turn it up. This is so good.
Turn it up. Mom who works two jobs, who loves her kids and never stops, with gentle hands and the heart of a fighter.
I'm a survivor. Tana, this is like one of my favorites of your 12 Days of Flipmas. I'm a survivor.
Are you eating a carrot?
Yes.
Nice.
Well, Nikki started, I don't know what she's cooking, soup? She's cooking a soup, and I wanted a carrot, so here it is.
Nice. I love that you remixed a Reba McEntire track. That is so legendary.
The thing is, I've had this idea to do it for so long. I just never tried, and then I tried it, and I was like, oh, this actually works out pretty well. And people actually really love it when I play it. It actually goes off.
Of course.
I was actually a big fan of the Reba TV show. I really liked the Reba TV show. It only makes sense. Like, it's weird how, like, TV plays such a role in my life.
Inspiration is everywhere.
Exactly.
True that.
But thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, we know you have to go see your tax man for the 13th time.
Dude, I'm so not stoked.
Best of luck.
So annoying.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, I mean, see, now I'm getting lazy. I'm like, I could do it on Friday.
You could. You could probably do it on Friday.
I'm doing it on Friday. But thanks for having me. I'll see you guys later. And
I'm going to go peace, love,
in sus we trust.
In sus we trust!
That's the one.
Can I do my sign-off that I like doing at the end of shows?
Yeah, please.
Hey, I've been so sus, and you've been so wonderful.
Mic drop.
Love you, Blurries.